everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, And Life Goes On. Today we'll be talking about spiritual awakening. What exactly is spiritual awakening and how do people experience it? How did I experience it? So what is my understanding of spiritual awakening and why is there such a fuss about it everywhere? Or at least there's a fuss about it on my podcast. So let's get started. So like I said in my previous episodes that we are not just a body, a mind, but we're really our souls and we are energies. So energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It can only be transformed from one form to another. So this energy just keeps coming back on this earth. We are on this earth to experience this life on earth. So this embodiment and this realization of the fact that you are your soul and you keep coming back and you're an eternal being and you're not just limited by some age limit or retirement or whatever, a death, nothing can ever finish you. That realization is spiritual awakening. So that is the minimalistic definition that I could think of. However, when you think from the perspective that you are your soul and you keep coming back, but then you would be like, okay, then why am I coming here? Like, where do I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? Then why did I choose to come here? So let's unravel all these mysteries. So we all are souls here on earth to experience human life. We come from an absolute reality to this relative world. So like Einstein said, in the theory of relativity, that we live in a relative world. So anything that we think of, you know, weight, time, colors, anything that you see around you is just relative. How you would say that, okay, no, but orange is orange for everyone. If you don't really know that what orange you can see, is it the same orange that I see? So, you know, it's a relative world. What orange is for you is probably not the orange for me. So we come here in this relative world, experiencing a relative reality. However, this relative reality is very much gets confined in the three-dimensional reality. When you only focus on the outside world, when you try to confine what is and what is not, what is right and what is wrong, this comes from the ego-based mind. Very confusing, right? No, it's not confusing. I'm sure you can understand. So when you think of a three-dimensional world, when you think that you are a three-dimensional being here experiencing three-dimensional reality, you would really live in a lot of pain because you would think that, okay, life is happening to you and I have to die someday. I need to make retirement plans. I need to plan for a vacation. I have to have a secure job. I have to have this. I don't have to have this. I don't have the luxury, but I want to achieve that. I want to achieve. So this will be your life in karma. You're doing a lot of things. You're doing one thing after the other. You're doing one thing after the other. And because your energy and your consciousness is confined in this three-dimensional state of reality, which is your ego mind, so that is what you will manifest in your life. So in other words, if you think that your life is so hard and you have to work hard in your life, you would manifest things. You would get things and jobs, you would get into relationships and jobs where you would have to work very hard, where you will really have to work hard and you would not be rewarded enough because you'll have to, you know, every day would be like you come back all tired and exhausted, and because you have to make a living, because you have to do it, because this is how it is, because this is what you have to do, because you don't have the luxury, because to earn the luxury you have to work hard. So we don't understand, but we are very creative and powerful beings. Even when your consciousness is not evolved to the five-dimensional consciousness, you still are creating your own reality out of the 3D consciousness. That is when you live in your karma. However, the goal is to live in Kriya. So what Kriya is, that we'll discuss maybe later. But anyway, this escalation and realization that you are living in a 3D reality, that realization really shifts your perspective. Because when you realize that we are in a relative world, nothing around you is absolute, and everything is relative. Everything depends from one person to another. So like I said in my previous podcast also, that you create everything because it's everything is existing on the outside world because it exists in your mind. So there's nothing really outside. Anything that you see is there because you can see it, and then you see it the way it is, and then you know what it is. And so it's being created, and it creates sort of an impression in your brain. Now this reality is only in your brain. Now this is a very good thing. You would say that, okay, if nothing outside me is real, then what do I do? My friend asked me this question, and I love this question. So she said that somebody told her that everything you see around you is an illusion, and so what do I do with that? Now what do I do? Should I just sit and do nothing? No, but then understand that this understanding of you not living in an absolute world and living in a relative reality removes the ego. So shedding of the ego is the first part of the spiritual awakening. You have to shed your ego self. Your ego is always telling you the ways of how things cannot be will not be possible, how you will not be able to achieve certain things in life, how you have to spend a mediocre life in some mediocre career, how you always have to work very hard to, you know, get things, how you don't have anything under control, how it's always somebody else's fault. This is all your ego. How your ego would also victimize you, that okay, this and this happened to you and you're such a poor person. So this is all your ego talking. And so the first step of awakening and raising your consciousness is really to shed that false ego societal standards. So when you remove your ego, you really free yourself. And then that is when you get to know, that is when you break that shell, the first shell, and you get to know that, okay, oh crap, I'm not who I am. I am this, I'm not who I thought I was. I thought I was a person who had to work really hard and had to live a middle class life, or had to, you know, live a disturbed life with these many problems. But then I'm not all of those things. I am this soul that is an eternal being. So when you realize, your perspective really shifts. When your perspective shifts from not from being somebody who's about to die and planning for the retirement to somebody who is an eternal being, you really become fearless, because you realize that you're invincible and you're never gonna die. So the most fearful thing that could ever happen to you, that is death, is not real. So it's just that you would not have this life, and so fuck it, I'm gonna do everything and anything that's possible to make me happy in this particular life. Now this process of giving up your ego, that is sort of I wouldn't say that it's difficult, because I always say that it's easier done than said. The reason that people find it difficult is because people say that it's difficult. You know, you find something difficult because you think that it is difficult, again, because it's in your mind. So if you think that giving up my ego, no, it's not possible, this only happens in books, or this cannot happen, you cannot really give up your ego. So because you keep saying that, you keep telling that to yourself, you're really creating barriers and limits in your mind. And so of course you would not be able to give up your ego. So that's really your ego telling you not to give up your ego. So these limits are only created in the absolute three-dimensional world, which is the ego world, which is exactly what is telling you that it cannot go away because you're living there. So of course it will tell you that it's not possible to let go of the ego. However, giving up of the ego is the most noble thing that you can do for your soul and for yourself. Now, what exactly is it and how to begin giving up your ego? So the first step is you identify where your ego is. I think I spoke about this in my last episode also, on how ego makes you feel like a victim, and then ego is also in the attachments to things, to places, to money, to the goal. So everything that is related to attachment or right or wrong or victimization is all your ego. Everything is ego. Another thing that's ego is that, you know, this mentality that I'm certain age and so I should have these many material possessions by this age. So these limits that we put in our mind, these are all, this is all ego. So the first job is to really shed the skins of the social conditioning that you've had for generations, for lifetimes, the conditioning that you've had for many lives, many previous lives on this earth. So the first step is really to unlearn things, unlearning how what people are telling you is it's all wrong. It is really wrong. You're following the wrong people. Let me give an example. So when you begin to awaken, in my journey, in many initial days, I don't know, I just had this thought that everything begins small and so it's okay. And I did not realize why I had this thing at that time, but now I realize why I had this thought. So for example, when any businessman, any multimillionaire or anyone, they all started small and they've all had a phase in their life when they had to struggle, when they had to live in small apartments. You know how you listen to those stories? But still they keep doing it and they still keep going after what is their soul's true calling. It's because they're really awakening to their truth. Now, when you listen to your soul's true calling, that's also a way of really awakening to your soul's truth. Now, when you begin to listen to your soul's truth, you understand that what people are telling you of what is possible and what is not possible, be it in your career, on your relationships, and what would make a safe job or what would make an unsafe job, these people have had lives which have not been so satisfying, you know, and these people have had relationships which are not so satisfying enough, and so you wouldn't want to live a life like these people, and then you just change your perspective to people who have really had a very fulfilling life. They've all had a phase of rebelling against these societal standards because these societal standards are all based on fear and ego. What would happen? Or this would happen? Nothing happens. Nothing really happens because you're an eternal being and your focus now has shifted to the fact that, okay, I have a soul's calling and I just have to follow it. I don't care what happens because nothing is gonna happen and I know it's gonna work out no matter what people say, what people tell you. So this realization, this is also like a huge form of going into the Kriya mode from the karma. Now we'll again distinguish between karma and Kriya a little later. I really just begin to go into that thing because I think that's something that I'm trying to embody really. Like that's something that I'm trying to embody in my life. So when you see that you have to just shed the skins of these societal standards, it's really something that you have to go back to your childhood, because when you were children, you were more authentic to your souls. You were more authentic to who you were and who, what your soul is really, and who you're meant to be. Because, say, and you know, with time, when we grow up, as we grow up, we begin to feel more fear, and we're told that you are not this and that. So when you shed your skin, you would really want to go back to your childhood. There will be a stage when you would want to go back to your childhood. You would want to be a child because that inner child needs to be healed. So that's also another part of healing. So when you shed your ego, you start to see these faces, these problems inside you, these shadows inside you. That's when you begin to do the shadow work. That's the shadow work also helps you shed your ego. So I think I've discussed shadow work also in my previous episodes. It's just that everything around you is just your own shadow. And so because everything, every negative thing, everything that somebody is saying, every so-called negative thing, that is also a belief that you've had. And because this person is saying that and it is affecting you, it hurts you. So it's somehow there inside you. Otherwise, it wouldn't affect you. It does not come inside your energetic field, and it even if somebody says something, it does not affect you at all. So the reason why somebody's actions are affecting you is because that That action and the belief behind that action is a belief that is well locked inside you. So the next stage is doing the shadow work of spiritual awakening. Now, once you begin realizing these things and you do the shadow work and you start to shed your ego, you shift from three-dimensional reality to four-dimensional reality, where your focus shifts from me to we, and you start looking at things that you want to do. Okay, I think I can do this, and I think I can do that also. Then your questions shift. So you would really start to wonder, oh my God, so life has really been happening for me, and it has all been a training, and everything will just work out. Oh my God, how am I doing this? And this is a phase when you will be really surprised, and this is the happiest phase of your spiritual awakening. No, I'm just kidding. It's, you know, just the initial rush that you get, but the stage late that you get later is of course much, much, much more satisfying and happier. So this stage is where you really start to experience a new reality. It's like, you know, a newfound love. When you have a new romantic relationship, how everything is all lovey-dovey, and then you realize, oh my God, this is there, and then you get flowers and everything. So you begin to awaken to a very new reality, and that new reality feels so different to you because you didn't know that it existed. And then you realize that it has really existed because every religious leader, so-called religious leader, or any guru, most gurus and most gods and goddesses that people preach, they were just spiritually awakened and they were all telling me about these things. So you would really awaken to the truth and you would realize that, okay, I can see these things, I can feel these things. You would realize how many senses you have. You would become very sensitive towards people's energetic fields, and you would become very sensitive towards your own aura and how it gets affected with when you say certain words, when you speak certain sentences, and when you don't do them, when you use positive affirmations, when you use visualization, when you eat certain healthy food, that's how it raises your vibe, because it makes you feel good, and that feeling factor really raises your vibe and escalates this process of spiritual awakening. And trust me, it's the most beautiful phase. Now in this stage you realize that the only thing that you had to do was to just be. Now this is a concept that I read about this a few months back, but I did not really understand of how to just be if you don't have to do anything. Like, how do you just be who you are? So when you're just being, it means that you are so close to your soul and your higher self that you've realized certain truths about yourself, and you know what makes you happy and what does not make you happy. So whatever is making you happy and making you feel good is something that is raising your vibe, and whatever raises your vibe is something that is good for your soul, is speaking the language of your soul. And when you keep doing that, you just being who you are, you become more authentic, you become more creative, because your consciousness has raised to a level where you can speak certain things without even wanting to know where it's coming from. You know, you just know certain things, and you just know it because you're just being who you are, and you are an eternal being. And that releases all the fear, and that slowly brings you from karma to kriya. Now, kriya mode is when you've totally surrendered to the divine. That is when, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that child is the most favorite to me who has completely surrendered to me. You know, so it's like you have so much faith in the universe or Krishna or any other force that you believe in the source, that you completely surrender and remove the need to control things, because you realize that there has been a divine plan till now and things have always somehow worked out. So whatever you need to do, that little bit of, you know, effort that you need to make in this three-dimensional reality, you will be presented that offer or that thing that you need to do or whatever it is. So you really remove that. That's when you are on that you move to the passenger seat, and it's like the universe takes the driver's seat, and you're just, cruising along, and you're just, okay, yeah, okay, fine, take me and tell me what to do now, tell me what to do now, tell me what to do. Okay, I just have to be, okay, fine, I'm just here to receive. Now, this is a process that, again, people say that it's very difficult to surrender. How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? Now, I understand that it's a little difficult because we are conditioned in a way that you have to work very hard to achieve certain things. But the fact is that the harder you work, that feeling of working hard is there only because you're working for something that you don't really love. Now, when you really do something that you love, you're just being you at some place. For example, if you love to, if music is who you really are at the core, if that's the language of your soul, even if you have 10 concerts in a day, you would be tired, but then you're just being you and you're not really working or doing something. You're not really working hard. Oh, I have to work hard, I have to get up. That feeling of, oh my God, I have to do this is really just a false belief. Is extremely, extremely, extremely false. So when you realize and you shift from three-dimensional to four-dimensional and eventually to five-dimensional consciousness, you really go from karma to kriya mode. And that is when life becomes like, just in complete cruise control, and then you just have to release control and you just let the universe drive. Okay, just do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna interfere. You do and take me wherever I have to go. So that's really the aim of raising the collective consciousness of humanity, of raising your personal consciousness and raising your own vibe. And that should be the aim of spiritual awakening. So I hope I was able to explain a little bit about spiritual awakening. However, spiritual awakening is a process. Always remember that awakening is a process and you are always, always, always evolving. We are continuously evolving as a human race. And so it will, every day, it will be a process. The other thing to remember in your process of spiritual awakening is that change is the only constant. So you have to be ready to change every single day. And every single living moment of your life on this earth will be a process of awakening to the truth of your soul and awakening more and more spiritually. So I hope this was helpful and see you next time. Bye bye.